Greetings in the name of Christ to everyone who's watching and listening. Welcome to those from Museum Street, Chantry and Lancy Road Methodist Churches. Welcome to those of you from the other churches in the Ipswich Methodist Circuit and to anyone who's watching from wherever they are. For those who don't know me, I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I am a United Methodist minister from California serving in the British Methodist Church here in the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. It would be lovely to know who is worshipping with us today. Below this video, you will find a sign-in form. Just type in your name and your location and click on the red box. In today's service, we're going to be giving thanks for the annual Methodist Conference that finished on Wednesday this week. Methodists from all over the United Kingdom gathered online together. They were joined by ecumenical partners from all around the globe. And we will hear more about that later in the service. We're also going to be breaking bread together on this, the first Sunday of the month. So I invite you to have a piece of bread or a biscuit and a cup of water or another drink to hand. So if you need to, pause the video right now and go and fetch something. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So let's open with our call to worship. Your parts are on the screen in white. These words are taken from the opening worship of one of the sessions of this week's Methodist Conference. Come into our hearts and fill them with your love. Come, Lord, and rule. Come into our minds and fill them with your peace. Come, Lord, and rule. Come into our lives and fill them with light. Come, Lord, and rule. Come into our days and fill them with glory. Come, Lord, and rule. And we're going to begin by singing number 685 from Singing the Faith. The words are going to be on the screen. So let us give praise that in Christ's kingdom there is no east or west, but one great fellowship of love.
In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In him shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. His service is the golden cord, close binding humankind. Join hands then, all the human race, whate'er your nation be, all children of the living God are surely kin to me. In Christ now meet both east and west, in him meet south and north. All Christ-like souls are one in him throughout the whole wide earth.
Let us come before God in prayer. Will you bow your heads? Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Help us to recognize your hand working miracles beyond our imagining. We praise you for your faithfulness through all generations. You spoke to us in ancient times through the law and prophets and visited us in Jesus Christ. Remind us of our salvation. Grant us mercy for all our sin, and renew your spirit within us. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing that you are doing, so that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love for all and its presence in Jesus Christ. Amen. This week was our annual Methodist conference from the 25th of June through to the 1st of July. And one of the things that I have done in the United States on the Sunday after our conference there is to have those who have gone stand up and tell about some of the highlights. Well, your conference is smaller than what I'm used to, and there were no delegates from our churches this year. But some of us watched the video live stream of events. So I asked Chris and Maggie Finbo to share a bit with us.
In normal times, the Methodist conference usually means Methodist people descending on a different part of the country each year. This year it should have been Telford. And in normal times, the conference would have consisted of the business agenda, the worship, the welcome into full connection of new presbyters and deacons, and the ordination services following on later in the day. This year, however, it was somewhat different because the whole thing was done electronically, which meant it was shorter, certain parts were left out, and things like the ordinations will have to take place at a later time. One of the great things of the conference is the fellowship and the interaction, which obviously wasn't there in the same way this year. And yet, looking back now, it's happened, it seems to me that there was something special, the way we were a connection, although we were apart, and we did join together through the wonders of technology, and we were together and we did discuss and we did worship to a certain extent. And through that, God's mission that we all want to share was shared. And things were discussed and were useful to help us go forward. And it strikes me that when we meet next year, hopefully in what we hope will be more along the lines that we're used to, we will be able to take the experience of this year and use that as we go forward, sharing God's message throughout the connection.
There are always certain reports and debates which you always, different people think, yes, that one really appealed to me and I thought that was really good. One of the ones this year which I felt was a very powerful debate and something new coming online is the God for All strategy, which basically is a new strategy for evangelism and growth in the Methodist Church. It's centered around the strategy of the church culturally, theologically, and financially, interestingly, deepening its mission to be a growing, evangelical, justice-seeking, and inclusive church. The priorities of God for All is to basically help new people become disciples of Jesus, very much along the lines of some of the things that were said at last year's conference, but also starting up new churches, raising up new lay and ordained leaders, and excitingly exploring ways of working with people and places that are very much on the margins of both the church and society. And I found that a very interesting debate.
One of the other things that happen at conference are what they call the fringe events. And this year, the past president of the conference, Injit Bogel, talked about peace, pandemics, plastics and bottles in the Beckley lecture. He spoke from his many years of experience as a public and practical theologian, speaking about how our world and our church face the many challenges ahead. But despite so many difficult priorities facing the world at this present time, Injit talked about how we should respond with integrity in God's call for justice and peace. You can watch this on the Methodist website.
One of the things that is always the highlight of the very first part of conference is the handing over from one president and vice president to the next. A very significant process which is carried on from the time of John Wesley. And in fact, the president always hands on to the incoming president a copy of John Wesley's Field Bible as a symbol of the ongoing presidency of the Methodist Church. And in the same way with the vice president, it's a copy of Charles Wesley's Hymns and Sacred Poems, again showing a continuity. So this year we had Reverend Dr. Barbara Glasson handing over to the Reverend Richard Teal as president, and we had Professor Clive Marsh handing over to Carolyn Lawrence as the vice president. Again, this had to be done in a very different way to usual. But then as soon as the new president and vice president are in place, what seems strange is the conference has to then vote for the people who are going to replace them the following year. Next year, the incoming president is Reverend Sonia Hicks, and the vice president is Mrs. Barbara Easton, both of whom have got a lot of experience in the Methodist Church. Sonia has served abroad as a mission partner. She's also worked in the Methodist Church in Ireland and in this country. And Barbara Easton is currently very much involved in the Methodist Academies and Schools Trust and has a background in that line of work. So both of them, in very different ways, will bring an awful lot to the presidency next year. But for the moment, we have Reverend Richard Teal and Carolyn Lawrence, both of whom, again, in very different ways, during the coming year, I'm sure we'll have an awful lot to share with the Methodist Church.
Our new president and vice president have chosen the theme for this year to be "The best of all is God is with us." This is a very Wesleyan theme, for these are the last words that John Wesley is said to have spoken before he died, as he raised his arms into the air and with all his remaining strength cried out twice, "The best of all is God is with us." In 2008, Andrew Pratt wrote a hymn based on those words, which has just been sung each day at the 2020 Methodist Conference. Wesley's words, and this hymn, insist on God's presence surrounding us and being ever present, sometimes despite our experience. It's the message of Christmas, of Easter, and as of a summation of the Methodist motivation towards active discipleship, it can hardly be bettered. So let's sing it now. It's number 610, and we're using the tune All for Jesus, that is at number 382.
Best of all is God is with us. God will hold and never fail. Keep that truth when storms are raging. God remains though faith is frail. Best of all is God is with us. Life goes on and needs are met. God is strongest in our weakness. Love renews, will not forget. Best of all is God is with us. Hearts are challenged, strangely warmed. Faith is deepened, courage strengthened, grace received and hope reformed. best of all is God is with us in our joy and through our pain, till that final acclamation, life is Christ and death is gain. Best of all is God is with us as we scale eternal heights. Love grows stronger, undiminished. Earth grows dim by heaven's lights.
Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland.
The reading is taken from John chapter 5, verses 2 to 9a. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool where the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, in the middle of conference, our new president, Reverend Richard Teale, delivered the sermon at Westminster Central Hall for their Sunday morning service. He spoke about three characteristics of a disciple of Jesus that are or should be true of all disciples. But these are the places specifically that we as Methodists place our emphasis: a warmed heart, personal holiness, and social holiness. Holiness is about a changed inner life and personal spirituality and prayer, but it's also expressed in community through a commitment to life together and social justice. It was that thread about social justice that I heard weaved through the conference that I want to reflect on today. In his presidential address the previous day, Saturday, the Reverend Richard Teale had reflected on this time of COVID-19 and how, in amongst our lamenting and longing for this time to pass, that it has been a time of great change. That in our disorientation, there has become an awareness that all is not as it should be with the world. We've seen the effects of poverty on who catches the coronavirus. We've seen pollution lift from our cities and the air become breathable. We've seen an awakening of those concerned for Black, Asian, and ethnic minority lives. God is using this time to change us and bring forth a changed reality. In our Isaiah reading, God said, "I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth." So we're coming out of this time as transformed people. As Isaiah continues, "Do Do you not perceive it? At the conference, the president, vice president, conference secretary, and vice secretary were all sitting at Cliff College at desks that were socially distanced. Reverend Richard Teal put a wooden giraffe on his desk. He explained that the giraffe was given to him during a visit in January 2020 to Kenya. He left it there for the duration of the conference for symbolic reasons. The giraffe is the only animal that does not hide fearfully in the savanna grass. It stands tall and proud, looking upwards and outwards. It is seen as an animal of vision. As Reverend Teal said, may we Methodists take a lesson from the giraffe to be a people of vision, looking not just at ourselves, but outwards and upwards. And some of the other speakers had fun in their homes, placing giraffes in the vision of their cameras. Unfortunately, my giraffe from Uganda is in my storage unit in the United States, or I would have put it behind me this morning. But that is why there's a silhouette of a giraffe in our picture for today. Each day of the conference for the business sessions, there was both early morning devotions and a Bible study. Tuesday's scripture was the gospel reading from John that we have just heard about the blind, lame man by the pool being healed. Both the morning devotions and the Bible study reflected on that scripture. The morning devotions were more focused on personal holiness as the Reverend Carrie Seaton pondered about the blind, lame man and the isolation that he must have felt and the loss of confidence in even trying to get into the pool after 38 years, and how Jesus offers unprovoked grace, healing the broken and forsaken. If that's where you find yourself, there is the good news. Deacon Karen McBride, warden of the Diaconal Order, led the Bible study reflecting more on social holiness and pondered Jesus' question to the blind, lame man, do you want to be made well? She asked us to consider this question not as individuals, but instead as a question about the health of the body of Christ. So I'm going to try and summarise what Karen said. For 38 years, the man's only focus had been the pool, and his only aim was to get in first before anyone else. Have we lost sight of our real purpose for being here, about our well-being and living differently? COVID-19 has unveiled truths of inequality and injustice around the world. The brutal death of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement have again revealed the costly nature of injustice. In the Methodist Church, the decision that will be made about the God in Love Unites Us report, the discussion of which has been delayed a year, has the possibility of increased harm and hurt rather than well-being. There is more than one pandemic raging, keeping God's people and children from being one, and those pandemics are raging in the body of Christ as well. Do you want to be made well? Why does the man not grasp the opportunity for healing and cry out, yes? Why do we not respond to calls for social justice? Was it scary for him to imagine living in a different way? It's risky sometimes to respond to Jesus' call. We must pay attention to what Jesus is asking us to do. Stand up, take our beds, and walk and live differently. We will not be able to go back to business as usual and be well. Jesus will not collude with some getting in the water first and others left on the side. Jesus is always about God's costly, life-giving work. We have a godly invitation to stand up and engage differently. And my thanks to Deacon Karen McBride for her thoughts. It was that invitation to stand up and engage differently that I heard come through the business sections. I was touched by the Methodist Conference's lively discussion on climate change and fossil fuels and caring for the earth, and by the extensive equality, diversity, and inclusion discussion. Earlier in our service, Chris talked about the Reverend Dr. Inderjit Bogal, who gave the Becky Lecture this year. He was the first Methodist president of colour, and that was 20 years ago. There's not been another president of colour since then. So I rejoice in the choice of Reverend Sonia Hicks as president-elect. But it is disappointing to think that it took so long. There were many speakers who talked about racism in the church and the need to ensure that our connectional leadership reflects the diversity that we have in the connection, and that the same need is there at district and circuit and the local church levels. The discussion also included talking about the systemic changes needed to bring about a wider cultural change in society, and that as Christians, and in particular Methodists, with a call for social holiness, that we have an obligation to participate in the cry for justice from our Black and Asian and ethnic minority neighbours. There is much more we can do, and our voices matter. But, as one of the delegates pointed out, we cannot advocate without understanding or even believing that there is a problem. I was very encouraged by what I heard, but it has to go further than just the few East Anglia district delegates and those who watched the live stream. We all have a responsibility to learn about racism, to accept our complicity, and to work for change. As I watched the Black Lives Matter protests unfolding in June, I wondered what part I could play. I set up a Zoom meeting about 10 days ago and invited folk from the three churches to participate in a faith discussion on racism and white privilege. There were 5 people who came and a few apologies. We decided that the best place for us to start was with our own education. So we're going to be having a Zoom book study that I will be leading. Everyone in the circuit is invited to participate. We'll be reading a book by a Black author called Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. And the author's name is Rennie Edo Lodge. And the book is on the Sunday Times bestseller list. We chose the book because racism is a white person's problem. And this book will allow us to be in dialogue with a Black person while learning to listen to their perspective without anyone of colour needing to be here in the room. Now, all are invited to this discussion, but our church is here are full of white people, with a small minority of other races and ethnicities. We welcome the participation of all in this discussion, but we don't want our siblings of colour to be put on the spot or having to speak on behalf of their whole race. This is just our first step and it will probably be uncomfortable. If you support Black Lives Matter, then come and find out how to be a better ally. If you think we should be saying all lives matter, then come and find out why that is problematic. If you were brought up and raised to be colourblind, as I was, then come and find out what the problem with that is. If you think racism discussions have no place in the church, then come along and find out why they do. If you've heard the term white privilege or systemic or structural racism and don't know what it means, then come and find out more. These are important and difficult discussions, but the first step towards advocacy and justice is through learning. So let's do that together. Come and join me. The first session will be on Thursday morning at 10:30 a.m. this week on the 9th of July, and we will decide on a schedule after that. You don't need to have the book already for this first meeting. I will be putting information on our circuit website about it, and from there you can find out how to contact me for the Zoom details. So do come. I'd love to see you there. And if that date and time doesn't work for you, just drop me a note and let me know, and we'll see how we can connect you in. Let us grow together in discipleship and social holiness. May we perceive the new things that God is doing. May we, as the body of Christ, reply yes to the question, do you want to be made well? I pray that the Ipswich Methodist Circuit will be full of giraffes, looking not just at ourselves, but outwards and upwards. May we truly, with warmed hearts, be able to proclaim with John Wesley the wonderful news that the best of all is God is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, hopefully you have your bread and your water close by. Now's the time to pick it up as we come to this time of sharing together. We cannot have communion over this video, but we can break bread together. John Wesley's dying words expressed what he truly believed and wanted his friends to know. The best of all is God is with us. So feel the power and presence of the risen Christ with you right now. Let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Here in my hands is the story of God's love for all. Remember the stories of God's love and justice that can sustain you wherever you are. And I invite you to pick up your glass of water. Without water, there can be no life. We were baptized by water and the Spirit into God's family. Water reminds us of the gifts of creation that God has so abundantly given us, and of the love and grace that we have all received. So drink the water slowly. Feel it flow into your body. Know that God's love is flowing into your body and soul right now. And now take a piece of bread into your hands. The risen Christ was made known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. In Acts 2, verse 28, Luke describes life among the believers day by day. As they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. So break and eat the piece of bread that you are holding with thanksgiving. Remember the times that you have received the bread of life in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Remember those who gathered with you. Remember the presence of Christ in that moment. Be assured that Christ is with you in every moment of your life. Amen. And let us now come before God in prayer. O Lord, you are indeed the healer of all our ills. We bring to you, Lord, our bodies, minds, and spirits, hurting and broken by the violence, ills, trauma, and cares of a world separated from you. Come to us now with your healing powers. We pray for the Methodist Church. By the inflowing of the Holy Spirit, may we become in practice more truly what we already are in faith and hope, the body of Christ. We pray for our country, that the values of the kingdom of God may become less unusual in the way we care for the oppressed. Bring justice and peace. And let us pray for all suffering, broken and forlorn people, that the healing of Christ may reach into the soul's depths where no human hand can touch or human word console. We entrust to you, O God, the cares of our hearts, the needs of your church, the wounds of the world, the hopes we carry. As we move into the next stage of opening up of our country, we pray that people will stay alert. For those who have been shielding and are now able to be in groups of six outside, we give thanks and pray that you will be with them and keep them safe. For those working hard to open up businesses, we pray that you will give them wisdom. And for the increasing numbers of cases and deaths in the United States and other places, we pray for the health workers, the medical profession, the essential workers, and those who are sick, and those who are grieving. We lift our prayers in the name of Jesus as we say together the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, although our churches can now open for worship, in our circuit we're taking things slowly. Each individual church will decide when they can safely reopen, so watch out for those announcements. We're committed to retaining an online presence for the foreseeable future, so I will see you here again next Sunday when I'm going to be beginning a 3-week sermon series that I'm calling Parables, Truths Thrown Alongside. The word parabola literally translates to throw beside. A closely related word is parable, a story that is not true, but true-like or thrown beside the truth. Jesus taught in parables, and they're full of wisdom that is masterfully woven in story form. In this sermon series, we will examine 3 farming parables about planting seeds from Matthew chapter 13 to see what truths we can uncover on the wayside about faith, life, and the kingdom of God. I'd like to thank those who participated in our service today. My husband, Adrian Pell, was on the keyboard and vocals. Also on vocals were Elizabeth Story and Neil Hethelwaite from our circuit. And to Maggie and Chris Finbow participated from Museum Street in their reflections about conference and for our scripture readings. So thank you to them all. At this time in our service, we would normally have our offering. So I ask you to remember your local church, wherever that church is. All churches are still in ministry. And I ask for your generosity and thank you for your generosity as we keep those ministries going. So let us pray a blessing over your offering. God of love, take these gifts and bless them. Use them in your work to transform this world into your kingdom of justice and joy. Amen. We're going to close with a song that's new for most of you. It's not in our hymn book. It is called A Place at the Table, as we celebrate that God is with us and with everyone born, for God delights in justice and joy.
For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread. A shelter and a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. For woman and man, a place at the table, revising the roles, deciding the share. With wisdom and grace, dividing the power. For woman and man, a system that's fair. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. For young and for old, a place at the table, a voice to be heard,
a part in the song. The hands of a child in hands that are wrinkled, for young and for old, the right to belong. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. For just and unjust, a place at the table, abuser abused, with need to forgive. In anger, in hurt, a mindset of mercy, for just and unjust, a new way to live. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy.
Go from here to be a creator of justice and joy. Go remembering the best of all is that God is with us. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.
For everyone born, a place at the table, to live without fear, and simply to be. To what to speak out, to witness and worship. For everyone born, the right to be free. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. Justice and joy. Justice and joy. Justice and joy.